Good morning. Weather conditions, hazy. Well, at least I can open my windows and get some fresh air in here and not have to worry about my breathing. And, yeah, the air quality thing is pretty much over with, I think. And I'll leave the windows open until the humidity kicks in, then it's going to go back to the air conditioning for sure. Good morning. Yeah, good morning. It says 75 or 6 here on the car's thermally body. So 77. It's climbing. So just starting to poke up there. Humidity, like you said, that's the key. I don't know what this haze is. I don't know if it's just clouds, because I look to the east where the sun's poking through and it looks clearer. So probably just the clouds or something. Doesn't seem moist. Anywho, good thing is where you're at, they're paying for the heat and the air, and so it doesn't matter what you do, it's on the house. I still have to pay for the little mouse on the wheel that runs the fan to blow all that heat and air conditioning around. So, but my electric bill's been staying low. It's staying low. It's staying consistent, under $30 a month. So I'm not complaining at all. I've got a bank of a negative balance of like $90 on my electric bill because I pay just one consistent fee every month of $30. And even though my bill's, let's say, $27, $28, that money accumulates to now where I could probably miss 3 or 4 payments and not have to worry about anything because I got enough money in the bank, in you know, the BTE bank, so to speak. I didn't realize you had to pay for your electricity. So the, well, that means the air conditioning, because you have units, right? Air conditioning units in each unit. So that means you got to foot the bill for the air. All right. Yeah, the budget plan, I'm on that as well. So for, it ain't $30. Tell you that. And I had that for a while. They overestimated and I was overpaying. So I ended up having this big surplus that I had to work my way through. And now I've got the new adjusted budget that I pay. They're always monkeying with it, giving you, I remember one year it was under, and I had to make it up. That sucks. My tower has central air, central heat. The neighboring tower, the Solberg tower, has individual air conditioning units and central heat. And so you have to buy a window unit that mounts into the wall, and then it's on the 220-240 line over there at the building next to mine. And yeah, I just, with all my electronics that are plugged in, I think I only have 2 outlets in the whole apartment that does not have something plugged into it. To keep my bill under $30 is a blessing. And my last bill, I think, was $29.80, and I just made a $30 deposit, like I say. And if you look at the bar graph, if you get a paper bill, I have to look mine up on a computer, but if you look at the paper bill, that bar graph is level 3.0 to 3.3 kilowatts or whatever the number is. And, yeah, it's just almost a straight line bar graph. So with all the electronics I have, I'm surprised it's not higher. All right, central air. So you just got to pay for the fan. So what that unit they came up and fixed? It was just a fan to pull it in? Yeah, the fan works fine, but the little mouse on the wheel died, so they had to put a new mouse in there. New electric motor is what they did. They took it out and put a nice brand new shiny fan motor in there, and the big turbo wheel that the mouse runs on is now working very nicely. Right, but I mean, so that's just a fan. It's, you said you have central air.
So all that is just a fan to move it into your apartment is what I'm getting at.
That is correct. It's the whole column of my building. That's like I say, in the wintertime, I don't run my heat because heat rises through these vents. And I don't even have to run the fan at all, the fan motor at all in the wintertime because the heat is so hot in here. And that's why I live in T-shirts and basketball shorts all year round. It's, you can regulate the temperature just to be that way. And, yeah, don't even have to worry about running the fan for the heat. Air conditioning, yeah. Heat, no.
All right, yeah, I'm just not familiar with central air in that kind of a context where you have, you know, multiple individual units. So I would imagine the heat's the same way. It's in a duct, and you pull it out with a fan or something. I know you don't have to, right? We've been over that. But all right, no, I'm just trying to understand the thermal dynamics of it all, I guess. Ah, man. Well, I wish my electric bill were $30. Tell you what.
Yeah, it's been consistent, like I say, and with all the electronics I have plugged in, all these radios on chargers and night lights going. You know, I don't even run really lamps at night. I just put the night lights, turn their thing on because they're, you know, sensitive, and puts a nice glow in here. So I walk around at night. I don't have to turn any lights on, and the light's just enough where I'm going to walk into anything. So, yeah, it's a nice setup here. It's, like I say, it's not the Taj Mahal, but it's got some nice perks to it, that's for sure. Got a question for you.
I got an answer.
Back on Sunday around 2:30, I think you were talking to Leonard from the Hazel Park Group about the hub page that shows you know, all the key ups and everything like that. And you mentioned something about the nodes, and you know, everybody's nodes are showing up, but you wanted to move some of these people that have personal nodes, which I think is the classification I fall under. You wanted those nodes to be moved to like the HQ thing, the next group down from the top where my node sits now. Do you want me to move to that page, or am I fine where I'm at, or that graph or chart portion of the chart, or am I okay where I'm at?
All right, the correct terminology, do you want me to connect to that node, or am I okay on the node I'm on? So you're perfectly fine where you're at, but in my mind, it's always been personal nodes like yours connect up to the 48412 instead of the 43732 node. That would be, in my vision of it, that would be where you would connect a personal node, 48412. But I, by no means am I, if you're a regular in particular, by no means does it matter. It doesn't matter one iota whether you do or don't. But in my mind, that's where I kind of got it. Like, you know, repeaters, Echolink, Echolink and Hoyp comes in on a separate one now. So that would be like guests that, you know, coming in for the first time, repeaters, things like that. And it's just I've never really, you know, put that out there. So it really don't matter.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I was listening to that conversation, and I thought, you know, does he want, you know, the personals in a, under a different classification or a listing or whatever. And, yeah, I just want to be in the right place and, you know, be in my lane, so to speak, traffic-wise, and going from there. Okay, I'll sit where I'm at, but if you ever want me to change it, I'll be more than happy to. It'll only take me, what, just a few seconds to do it. So, yeah. Okay. Yep. yes, I asked the question, and yes, you had the answer. Quite impressive. And you haven't even had coffee yet. Neither have I.
Yep. Half the drive-in is me deciding, what do I want? Do I just want a regular coffee, or do I want to get something with espresso? More often than not, I get something with espresso. Then sometimes I just get a small coffee and have an Irish Carbama shot of espresso into it.
That sounds good. I haven't had coffee with Irish cream in it or anything Irish in it in such a long time. But again, I wasn't really into a lot of those fancy flavored things anyway. Like I said, I drink a lot of decaf now. And I don't even drink that much coffee. I don't even drink coffee when we go to breakfast on Saturday mornings. I just drink Diet Pop. But, I want to be as skinny as Dino. That's all he does is drink Diet Pop there at breakfast. So I figured I'd try his diet so he can get more weight off of me. Somebody sent me a picture the other day of me taking, with all of us at breakfast, 2023, about the time my mom died, and I saw how heavy I was, and I knew it was from 2023 because it was right in 2024. I started, I didn't have to wear glasses anymore, so that picture has to be almost, good 2 years old by now. And I've seen how much weight I lost. I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it myself. But progress is progress.
E4 is ZYQ. Good morning, Joe. Well, yes, that's good if you're trying. If you're not trying, then it's cause for concern. Morning, Joe. Go ahead. Good morning, gentlemen. This is K4CYQ. I had to touch briefly on, not to interrupt you too long, briefly on the electric bill you're talking about. I don't know why I don't have a low electric bill. Every light in my house is an LED. The highest wattage bulb in the house is 7.5 watts of LED, equivalent to 60, but only a couple lights on during the day or night. And the TV and the radio are the only two things running. Everything else is on power strips turned off. So I've had a battle with DTE trying to figure out why my bill's so high. But I got nothing else plugged in. Nobody else is here but me. And, $30. Geez, I don't even know what that is. Pretty crazy how they can get you on that. Let's see. Over to you, Sean, and you guys take care. I'll listen out. I don't want to interrupt your good cue, so KE4ZYQ, have a good day.
Well, I'll add, Joe, good morning to you. I do live on a senior campus, and there are perks and, discounts with DGE for being a senior, but the consistency is the thing with me. I run a lot of power strips, and I have a lot of electronic equipment in here. I don't own a TV, so that's half the problem. That's half the battle right there, and other things that I don't normally would have. So that helps it there. All right, Joe, good hearing from you this morning. Have a great day. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got a lot of LED, but I'm sure I'd have to double check and see if I'm 100% LED. But we don't run a lot of light either. We've got, I don't know. We're not careful at all either. But we got big TV running in the front 24/7 practically. In my back room I'm at, there's a computer that feeds a TV and screen and a regular monitor screen plus the computer itself plus all my radio equipment. And trying to think what else though, aside from my shack area and my wife's entertainment area. Not a lot, but we're not, things charging, things like that. But our bill is, well up in the hundreds. Like 180-ish, I think it's running. And, it's on a budget, and that'll fluctuate. But, yep, and then there's the gas. It's another one. Yeehaw, don't you just love it?
Well, that's one thing I'm thankful for. I mean, I had gas my entire life practically in every place I ever lived, except for when I first moved out of my parents' house. My apartments were electric, of course. This here is obviously electric, but yeah, I remember gas bills and got married, first house, had to have gas, always cooked with gas, you know, on the stove and things like that. So I don't ever remember having a gas dryer back in my married days, but I believe my parents had gas on their dryer. And then before my mom passed in her later years, she switched to electric. Because I remember they had to put a special plug in for that. But, yeah, gas, I can imagine what gas bills are like, especially in the wintertime for heating and things like that. No doubt about it. That I don't have a history on, and I can recall.
Yeah, well, I don't know how I would deal with living in a place that was restrictive as far as, you know, antennas and things like that. I wouldn't be very comfortable with that. So, but there'll come a time where I'm going to have to weigh, you know, whether I want the upkeep, which I'm not particularly good at, and in exchange for, you know, I have to give that up. In this modern age with, you know, all the remote stuff you can do, it's not so bad, but, yeah, I don't know. It's like there's a lot to like about what you're set up there, but you give up a lot, right? You know, you gotta toe the line.
Well, when I started all this hoopla, that window antenna that I have is good for 450 to 470. We know what that band is. And then I got one tuned to 440 to 470. That's the one that's on the window now. But when we start talking DMR and your frequencies are down around 400, 403, or even maybe I'm not there yet, but the UHF band, I can start at 380. I got to find an antenna. I can't really use my Moto Turbo with the antenna I have on there on that big box base radio. I can talk 440 on it. I mean, yeah, 70 centimeter on it with what Wally put into it. But I'm already in the market of looking for a small antenna that I can conceal somewhere. There's like a 17-inch fiberglass omnidirectional, and there's also a 17-inch long beam antenna that I can point through to Detroit and hit the towers down there and go from there. I think right now is I don't even know if Detroit's there because I can't see it with all these trees in front of me. I mean, everything's gone with these trees. The hospital's gone. I can't see nothing. It's so thick and so high. And it's gotten worse over the years from when I moved in here 11 years ago.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, unless you have node down in the 430s, you shouldn't need anything. DMR, everything is 440 and up. Even commercially, that's going to be in the 450s or the 460s, I believe. Now, it's possible. I'll double-check that with your program that you're in the 420s, but I don't think so. You shouldn't need anything below 440. So I have to double-check your code plug, but that'd be very unusual to have anything below.
Well, it is, to my understanding, the Moto Turbo system that I got from ComSource MCA, that's running on a 403 megahertz band. And my HTs, obviously, the antennas, these rubber ducks, go down to 403, so that's not the issue. That's why I run the rat tail versus the stubby on my HTs, because it's the full spectrum, 403 to 527. If I wanted to get an antenna that goes from 400 to 470, I'd have to stubby. I'd have to order those from Motorola. But yeah, I'm talking mainly on the big box radio, the big 5550E. The range is kind of limited
but the frequencies are constantly expanding.
Okay, Flores, do you like to comment?
She's back. Go ahead, Joe.
Guys, sorry to interrupt again, but I was going to say, talking about restricted areas, Sean, I knew when I came to the condo here I'm in, I was going to have some restrictions for ham radio especially, but the benefits for me is with my association dues, I get all the water I use without having it regulated and priced different times of the year, so it's included, water, all the outside maintenance, lawn care, fertilizing, weed whacking, bushes trimming, gutters cleaned out every year, and what else? Snow removal. They paint the outside every once every 3 years or so, and I have a new roof. Back when Dexter got hit by a tornado a few years back, we got hail damage on the roofs, and all the buildings in my neighborhood, through the insurance company of the association, paid for all the new roofs for all the buildings, and I didn't have to pay an extra dime or an increase in my dues. So there's some good points. And you know, Sean, that I got that attic antenna up there for 2 meter, 70-centimeter dual band. And I think I could put a long wire, they say, for HF or something. But I have a Comet toy box antenna for HF on a file cabinet on the first floor. And it works fairly decent on, you know, certain bands that I could do, as long as I get the counterpoise decent. But yeah, not too bad on the association dues compared to what I'd have to pay for lawnmowers, weed whackers, and bushes, and gutters, and fertilizing, and snow removal, and all that fun stuff most people in the house do. But, hey, you do what you got to do. Back to you, Sean, and KE4Z, like you.
All right. I was about 50% paying attention. I was chatting with a cute little barista here at Starbucks. And she's very chatty. So, anywho, where are we at here? Get back out onto the road. But, I'll check that. Getting back to the your DMR system there through MCA, I'll double-check that, but I'd be shocked if it was 403. You know, that was all federal government stuff. There was nobody down in the 403s to 420 except the federal government, period. End of story, full stop. So, and there's nothing below that. I guarantee nothing below 420. Could be 420 to 430. Could be. I'll double check that. But I'm gonna look at your code plug and see. I'd be shocked if there was any need for anything under 440. And that's including your ham stuff. So I don't know if I pulled this back to a conversation, but I got kind of boogered up when I got to the Starbucks and the cute little barista started chatting my ear off.
Well, I have a printout from Scott for when he did my array radios originally back in 2019, 2020, and I'll see what it says. I'll dig it out, and I'll send you a text on what it says. But, that number just rings a bell in my head, but I'll double-check it and see. Because that's what I always thought it was. That's probably part of the reason why I got the antennas that I had originally. And the only stubby I have is 440 to 490. And I didn't realize till later that, and I ordered those on a whim because I was talking about going ham. And I forgot all about the DMR frequencies from MCA. So I'll double check that and I'll send you a text on what I have. I could be wrong, but. You know, I my mind can fat finger a number just as easily as my fingers can on a typewriter or a keyboard or anything. yes. So you got your coffee, you're happy, it's hump day, and yeah. Where is everybody today besides you, me, and Joe?
I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Good morning, fellas.
Hold on a minute. Sean left more of a gap than I leave, and he was talking to barista, so you had plenty of gap time to get in here.
I'm just giving you crap.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Sean, tell me where that Starbucks is.
Yeah, I try to whole time. But, you know, you get on a topic, a conversation, you get rapid fire, you can lose track.
You guys doubled.
Well, I was just saying, I leave lots of gap. But then there's the problem. What if everybody leaves a lot of gap? Then you're still doubling. Because everybody's leaving a lot of gap. Just like that. No, but Tom, you're probably being facetious anyhow. I'm making my final approach here, though, so I've probably got one more to say goodbye. Tom?
Oh, no, I was just giving you all crap, that's all. I just wanted to say good morning. But, I do that, too. I think we all do it. We get on a topic, and we just jump, and don't pause enough, I guess. I don't know. Well, 73 to you, Sean. Enjoy your day at work. I'm on my way out to, where am I going? 8 miles in Wyoming, so not too far. KCKTO. Go ahead, Joe, or Don.
I'll take it. Tom, since it was a double, why don't you ask Sean that question again about where that barista was located? Which Starbucks is she at?
Well, he doesn't have to ask again because I heard you ask the question. It's the Starbucks at Cass and Grostuck. She works the window. Her name's Megan. So she had the same name as my daughter, probably, the first time we started talking. About my daughter's age, probably. Well, probably younger than my daughter, actually. But her name was what got us chatting the first time. But we chat every morning. She's a pleasant young lady. All right, anyhow, I'm here. I'm going to get inside. What else was I going to say? It seems like I was going to say something else, but it's really not important. I'm going to get in, start my day. W8FU.
Okay, next time I'm around that area. And the fact is, when you get pleasant people, then you make the sacrifice to, you know, try a product kind of thing. I said, there's only one form of Starbucks I like, and that's that blonde roast. That's about it. It's easy. It's not as strong, I guess you can say.
You gentlemen, well, take care. Have a good day.
I guess the white mocha,
chocolate thing,
kind of like a hot chocolate coffee kind of a thing, and I just asked them to load it up with everything. And I usually order two ventis, and I pour 3/4 of those two into my thermal mug, and then I leave the last 8 ounces for a pastry or something to have with my coffee, because I can't really drink coffee on an empty stomach. I gotta have something.
Well, I'm over to decaf now for certain medical reasons, and Joe and you doubled, so go ahead, Joe. KCKTO.
Sorry about that. I just wanted to sign and say have a good day. Thanks for letting me jump in briefly here and there. Have a good day and a good rest of the week from KE4ZYQ 73 for now.
Okay, Joe. You have a great day. Appreciate your insights and your input. W8RCY. Tom, back to you.
Have a good one, Joe. 73. Talk to you on the flip. I'll be out here all day as usual. I mean, you're more than welcome to pop in on the conversations as always. You know, everybody is. That's what this is all about. Yeah, pinky drinks, gotta be donuts. And it's gotta be a certain type. But I don't dunk it in my coffee, and I drink decaf now. So it's just more for flavor than it is for, you know, pick me up in the morning.
K-E-A-W-O-J. I hear you, W-O-J. Yeah, we'll let you have it next. But, Tom, yeah, what I mean by donut or something, I mean, I just can't drink plain coffee on an empty stomach, so I'll have something like an English muffin. I mean, I usually buy English muffins, and I think they put, six of them in there, so I got, 12 of them, because I only eat, a half of one, just something. And my big weakness, though, is breakfast sandwiches. McDonald's sausage McMuffin with egg. That's the only thing I eat out of McDonald's now. I haven't had a McDonald's burger in I don't know how long, but those breakfast sandwiches with a good cup of coffee, just one of those, and I'm a happy camper. WOJ, I can't remember your name. I know you just got your nose. I was the one who gave you a test yesterday. Welcome aboard. Go ahead, sir. Then Tom can take it.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate it. And good morning, fellas. I had to give up coffee when the heart attack started there, so I switched over to hot chocolate, and now I kind of dumped that, too. And my favorite breakfast sandwiches used to be the Burger King sausage biscuits there. I just love them things. But, yeah, I was wondering if I could hop in here again on All-Star, and I was told that transmissions are sort of over-modulated and somewhat distorted, so I think maybe I got it fixed, if you guys wouldn't mind.
I think you dropped there for a second. K-A-W-O-J, try again. K-A-K-G-O.
Oh, sorry about that. Maybe my finger slipped off. It's kind of a stiff PTT button there. Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys would mind if I jumped on here at All-Star and you guys could give me a little audio report and tell me if I'm over-modulated or not.
Well, I'm hearing you just fine, and I really didn't notice any over-modulation when I was talking to you yesterday. I mean, you sound like you did dial it back, but I'm perfectly comfortable with what you're doing. And, you know, the settings that you have right now, but that's just my ear. Tom might have a different ear, and if Sean's listening in the background, he might have a different ear.
Talking about me, talking about WOJ, I think his All-Star dropped off there.
Yes, you're absolutely right. All of a sudden, I'm having a problem. Yeah, go figure, eh? Well, I'm a newbie, so I'm kind of an All-Star infant.
Well, we all have to start somewhere. I even made a couple of mistakes with mine in the beginning, but I had a good technician do all my presets for me. Once I got it connected, I just had to push the button and talk. I don't hold the radio that close. I'm about maybe 4-5 inches from my HT. And I'm just talking in my normal speaking voice. You can make those minor little adjustments without having to go into the settings of All-Star or anything, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of little things you just got to learn with these devices. And I noticed also I have another radio I use, and the sensitivity on that is different. So if you have your All-Star hooked up to more than one radio like I do, the issues could be within the radio and not with your All-Star. So it's, you just got to tinker with it. And, but, no, you're okay with me so far. Tom, back to you.
Sorry, I had a frog in my throat. Yeah, absolutely. You guys taught me, where the mic should be at, but I also raise and lower my audio level verbally and then electronically, I guess you can say. All depends on what radio I'm talking on. My analog, I got about like you, Don, 3 or 4 inches, from my mouth. I talk across the mic, not into the mic. But on DMR, I hold that a lot further away because it's got a higher sensitivity, so that one usually just sits in my lap and everybody hears me on the DMR just fine. But if I ever over-modulate, please let me know because I can make adjustments still. K-A-K-G-O-J, I didn't catch your name.
Sorry, I didn't say it. It's Rick. I'm over here in West Bloomfield by Phil's repeater. And, yeah, I found that out yesterday. I was talking to a couple guys in Manchester, England, and they were saying, boy, you're really distorted. And I ended up having to hold this thing about almost arm's length away and almost whisper. And they were like, oh, that's good right there. I'm kind of used to having these HTs right up to the face just about.
Well, it's just a matter of adjustment. Like I say, I hold my HT right now about 5 inches away, but, you know, even if you just, you know, like Tom mentioned, the biggest thing is that whether you talk directly straight into the radio or you turn the radio sideways a little bit. I know on my, what I call my big box radio, which is a mobile unit attached to a power supply, I do not talk directly into the mic. I talk parallel to the mic, sideways, so to speak. So you're talking across the top of the speaker mic thing versus directly into it. So little adjustments like that is all it takes to make a big difference, that's for sure. And, Rick, I got it now. I actually looked it up on my cheat sheet when I wrote your call sign down the other day. So, I got you on my cheat sheet. So, again, welcome aboard and enjoy the hobby. And this is only the beginning. There's so much more to learn. And I'm still learning. I've only had my license since August of last year, so I'm not even a year yet. And I'm just learning. Tom, over to you, sir.
100% agree, Don. I've had my license since 1998, and it's usually on the Yaseka repeater or just bouncing around and buying small radios here and there. And finally, I upgraded and got the one that I have now, and discovered a great group of people on UHF. And that was last year, Don, I think. Got my DMR all set up that I've had for 3 years and didn't know what to do with it. Got that running. I've got an open spot that runs my network with my DMR so I can go to different talk groups. And I got a mobile DMR that goes on MI5. So, yeah, there's a whole world of possibilities out there. And just jumped in. Like Don, I enjoy ever. Some odd years later.
Well, Tom, I'm kind of jealous there. I've been fighting with a DMR radio for a while. I got a Eddytoad 878 UV2 Plus back in, February, I think. And I fiddled with that, and I couldn't get it to connect anywhere kind of thing. It turned out I'm just barely on the fringe of the repeaters. There's only one down in Detroit, the CMC, that I can actually use. So apparently my code plug was okay all along. I just was out on the fringe there. But it's kind of fun to play with all these. I'm amazed at all the toys we have to play with. P-E-A-W-O-J, John.
Well, not to rehash my history, I've been on UHF commercial type radio since about 1978 when I got my first GMRS license, and I've had a GMRS license pretty much all this time, and I never found a reason to go to amateur radio until there was a gentleman that was with us. He passed away a little over a year ago. His nickname was Professor Don, and he coaxed me into getting into amateur radio, and I said, well, it's been 50 years, yeah, I should maybe look into it. And did I open up a can of worms in the world of radio? I still don't have an interest in talking around the world. I still don't have an interest in bouncing signals off of satellites, but I just want to expand my UHF capabilities. And with what I've learned in amateur in the past year and getting a node and learning about all of that, definitely. It's an eye-opening experience, and a lot has changed since when I first looked at ham when I got out of high school 51 years ago. But, it's fun to play with, that's for sure, excuse me. And I'm going to work on my general license. I'm not sure if I'll get the license. I'm more interested. Right now I'm just doing the video sessions just to learn, just to help expand my horizons and my visions of how far I really truly want to take this. Because like most of you already know, I have an HOA restriction, so I can't put a tower. I can't put a 20-foot tower on a balcony that's already 80 feet high just to clear the roof line.
I agree there. Well, I don't live in an HOA, but I'm still doing my study guide for my general. And it's just moving along at it, just taking my time. I'm in no real rush. I've got everybody here on UHF that I talk with. And on DMR, I'm usually just on the MI5 network. With my open spot, if I'm at home, I'll go on to Talk Group 91, which is worldwide, but that's like the new CB era for ham radio, because everybody's on that frequency, on that talk group, and it makes it extremely hard to get out of it or disconnect from it once they start chattering. So I got to unplug my open spot to disconnect or go into it and do a disconnect on it. But besides that, the talk groups, pretty interesting. You can talk to people all over the place. It's just timing and limits, and you got to learn a little bit more. It took me, I think, like about a year. Yeah, since last year, really got into the MR pretty good. Go ahead, Rick.
Rick, you're up next.
I kind of jumped into the general too, started studying for that, and I was like, oh, man, what am I doing, you know? It was apparently, I was told by a lot of people that getting your tech license was, you know, 8 or 10 hours worth of study, and that's about it kind of thing. I spent a few weeks studying pretty hard, but anyway, I started on the general there, and I thought, what am I doing here? I got digital. I can talk all over the world now, and we got an HOA over here. I had to hide my little antenna, Comet GP3. I wrapped it all in plastic ivy so nobody could see it. But I thought, man, what am I doing? I got all this digital. I can talk all over the world now as it is. So far, my general study book is collecting dust. Don, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I live on a senior campus and two high rises. 9 stories and then 1 3-story building. I'm on the 8th floor of one of the 9-story high rises with an open air balcony and open sky balcony and facing southwest. But all my repeaters are behind me on the other side of the building, and I'd have to clear a 20-foot wall just to get to the roof. And then, you know, stuff like that. That's why I joke about putting a 20-foot tower up. But they're not going to let me do that. The only thing they really allow for the way of any kind of antennas are we have a multicultural facility here. We have all different nationalities and stuff. So we have people here with their satellite dishes mounted in buckets of cement because you can't attach them to the building, hanging off the back of my side of the tower. I got at least 3 on mine that I'm aware of. But, yeah, I'm just running an 8-inch tuned antenna for 440 to 470 on my glass door wall. It's on the inside. You don't even know it's there unless you, I mean, you can't really even see it from the outside unless you really look for it. But it does the trick, and it will handle, I think it'll handle 200 watts of input. So, I want to get something a little bit better because the coax on it is like pencil thin. I mean, it's real thin coax, but it's used for a special application, and that's why it's got small coax on it. But I'm looking to improve it. That's one of the things I was talking to Sean about earlier. I want to get a better, stronger, more reliable antenna that I could still place inside my unit.
Yeah, I was looking at those glass mount antennas, the ones that look like the cellular and stuff. I just don't think they're as reliable as the mag mount, so that's why I went with the mag mount. And, I don't have any HOA, so I can put almost anything up in my yard if I want. I think within reason, I haven't seen anything in my ordinance book in regards to height limit. I see stuff there in regards to satellite dishes, I think, or aerial Might be, it says television antennas. Well, it's not a television antenna, it's an amateur radio antenna. So I'd like to see how that goes. But being the planning commissioner, I'm sure I can get a request and approval to a ZBA or something. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, Don, I have to say you sure get out pretty good with that antenna there. I think my first antenna, other than replacing the rubber ducks on my handhelds, was a ladder line antenna. And the same thing, it had kind of a small, thin feed to it kind of thing. And it did okay. It got out pretty good, but I kind of replaced that as soon as I could. Don, go ahead.
Well, I'm not talking to that on-glass antenna right now. That's connected to the mobile and base unit. I'm just talking on a 1-watt HT through my node, and then the repeater. I can still talk directly RF to the repeater because I'm under, I don't know the exact mileage between me and the repeater out here for the FBI and Warren, but I can still hit it on 1 watt of power. So, I think it's just, you know, the radios I'm using and things like that. But, Tom, the antenna that I use is like a rubber strap, and it affixes to the inside of the glass with a couple of pieces of double-sided tape, and it's about 8 inches long, I'd say, and it's tuned to the 440, 470 range, and I had to have it custom built because the factory antennas that I would normally use that application for are tuned 450 to 470, and that's where I was when I started because I was in GMRS when I first initiated this whole mess 5 years ago. So, but it's just a simple picture, and I mean a simple, like I said, it looks like a rubber blade, and it affixes inside the door wall glass.
Okay, that's something I gotta check out. I'm trying to figure out. I have a 10-meter EHF mobile Motorola that I want to use in-house for, you know, the ArchNet and everything. I really don't want to drill holes in my house. I hate doing that. You know, I usually find a way to fish it out somewhere else, but where my dryer duct is, I can't do it this time, so it's like, gosh darn it. So, but I want to mount something or get something in my dining room where I can set up a small table by the window there and be able to talk on 47.2, you know, during certain times of the day, you know, when I'm at home. Rick.
Well, I understand about not knocking any more holes in there for sure, just to run my little PMR 400 out the outside from the basement there. I had to drill through the block through the brick. what a pain that was, kind of thing. I'm glad I don't have to do any more of that. Excuse me. And sorry, I was kind of distracted there, but I had a pretty girl walk by, so I just had to talk to her. KEAWOJ, Don.
Was she a pretty girl that worked at Starbucks by the name of Megan? Sounds like Megan's becoming pretty popular. All right, well, I'm going to check out. Getting close to 8 o'clock, and I got to start my day of doing nothing. Wednesday's about the only day of a week on the weekdays that I have to where I have no scheduled doctor's appointments or anything of that sort to do. So I have to get coffee in me because that's the one thing I don't have yet is coffee in me. So, gentlemen, pleasure talking to you both. Rick, again, welcome to the hobby and welcome to the world of nodes and everything else. Got a great group of guys that are out here that will help you anywhere along the way. W8RCY, I am clear.
73 Don, have a good day, doing not very much. Stay cool. Supposed to rain today somehow. When? I don't know. KKKGO, over to Rick.
573's done, and I have a great and safe day, and thanks for the info and advice. I always appreciate it. I could use it, too. KE8WOJ. Tom, back to you.
Yeah, like what Don was saying is he hit the right repeater, he hit the right group of guys. Everybody that's on the ESPN network from one end of the earth to the other when you hear everybody on there. Everybody's a wealth of knowledge in one way or another, whether it's computers, networking, the All-Star Nodes, the DMR, the open spots, the Motorola radios, or whatever radio you've got. There's someone on this group of guys that will have an answer for you, and if they don't have the answer, they'll find someone that does. So, highly respected group of people, operators in my eyes.
Well, I agree 100%. Almost all my radios are dual VFOs, and I always have one of them tuned to the FBI network. And I learn all the time. It's even if I don't have questions, I hear you guys talking about things that I don't know anything about. So then I've got to start looking into it. You know, you guys rub off on a lot of people.
Wait till you get our first bill.
That was funny, Don. That was funny. Yeah, Greg, exactly. You know, there's a great group of people out here, and me, when I first started in amateur radio, I was afraid to jump on there. I was afraid to bump into somebody's conversation or, you know, a round table. And my feeling, when I got my license, WBAD Walt was the one that said, just be yourself. You know, listen and Don. Tremendous. And all of it over the past. A lot, and I am, like Don, I am still learning to this day.
Well, Tom, you must have went through a dead spot there, but I got most of that. And, yeah, I hope I got a feeling I'm going to be learning until they put me in the ground there. But it's getting tougher and tougher because it seems like the distance between from ear to ear on my head anymore is almost completely filled with bone instead of brain. It's getting harder to learn these things.
He just got his GMRS license. He's not big into radios like I am, but getting his GMRS set up for taking any tests right now. Oh, my God. And where was I going with that? Oh, getting his amateur license. I'm like, all you got to do is, you know, you study. Here's the website. You can study, study, study. I said, and let me put it to you this way. And he goes, for you too, Rick, is if a 7-year-old or a 5 or 7-year-old can study and take these tests and pass and get their amateur license at that age, anybody can do it.
Oh, you bet. You're absolutely right. I'm sure I could do it. Like I say, sooner or later, I should probably look into the general, but I could talk all over the world now, and there's more places out there that I can talk to anyway, and I kind of run out of breath fairly quickly anymore.
Well, as you can tell from hearing me on the radio, I am one long-winded individual.
Hey, that's okay. We all need somebody to listen to. And, yeah, I got a GMRS license, too, before the ham license, so I could legally play on the radio there. And since there wasn't any testing, I figured I could pass that.
And look where you're at now. You got your tech license and now and admitted. There's no big rush, but, you know, go for your general. I've been told for quite a technician for a security provider. We'll just leave it at that. And that's all I mess with is electronic equipment, you know, computers and stuff. Doing that for 30 years.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. You work for Jackson Controls, don't you?
You remember, absolutely. Started at ADT as an alarm dispatch operator. What we call a central station where all the alarms come into, and I was the one that would call you 2 o'clock in the morning to let you know that your alarm was going off. And then when the company split between two divisions, I stayed with the commercial side, and then our parent company sold off the ADT and became Integrated Security to make charge with Johnson Controls about 7 years ago, and been with them ever since. So same group of guys I worked with since I started with, you know, 30 years back, still there, and I still work with them.
Oh, well, that makes things kind of nice. I know I've been on a number of crews, and we've had a, you know, 4 or 5 guy crews, and a couple of them were just awesome crews, you know, and we got along great, and you could work, you know, 80 to 100 hours a week with these guys, and you didn't get enough of them, you know. Kind of makes a difference. Yeah, when I lived in Lapeer there, I had a fellow down the street about a mile away. He worked at Johnson Controls, too, and I'd go over there for dinner every once in a while, and he'd tell me about his work and all that, and it was just seemed like endlessly interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I said, you know, it's not the same old routine every day. You know, I can go to one account, you know, 4 times, and it's always something different. Or just different scenarios. It's never the same day to day, and that's what makes my job interesting. Keeps my mind fresh, and I keep my mind fresh and my memory good, and I have a rapport with a lot of my with a lot of my customers, along with my coworker, and we just do what we do, and the customers appreciate it. It's a fun job, it really is. There's a lot of interesting things I get to see here and there. KTO for ID, because I'm sure I didn't do that for a while.
Yeah, I managed for a short while, I managed a small computer store in Lake Orion there, and I was also the tech, so I really enjoyed the time spent in the back room building and fixing and doing things with the computers, but I also went out and to people's homes that didn't want to tear their system down and bring it in and all that kind of stuff, and I got to admit, it was a whole lot of fun. I kind of enjoyed the heck out of that.
100%. To me, I was this way when I was a kid. I always had to figure out how something worked. I was always taking things apart, not always successful at putting them back together, but I figured out how things worked. And I still do that now. But now it's computer-based, and my logic is like, if I can make it do this, how would I do that? And that's basically what I do now. Figure out how I can make something operate differently than what it's set for.
Well, I used to have that kind of logic, but debugging machines and trying to find out what was wrong with them. So, but now I'm lucky if I can just get something running.
Well, if you go to the, I don't know if I talked to you before about that, go to the I think it's Whiskey 8 CMN Whiskey, Charlie, Mary, November, dot net. I think that's a Central Michigan network. And there they have all the MI5 repeaters with the color codes and the offsets in there. The big in West Bloomfield, I think Novi might be a close one. I think there's one in Pontiac. I'd have to look.
Oh, I'll check that out. I've been kind of mostly going off a repeater book. I've got the repeater book app on the phone there, and I mostly use that. But, yeah, there's CMC in Detroit. I think there's one in Novi. Supposedly W808K in Pontiac there has DMR, but I never could get a response from them. They're only 5 miles away, 4 or 5 miles away. But, yeah, it sure is fun stuff. I think I could spend 24 hours a day playing with this stuff.
Yeah, the MI5 is, they have four top groups, 51, 52, 53, and 54. And, but the MI5 is strictly with, you know, that one's, I'm not saying restricted, but it's strictly for that. So if you jump on there, those are the only four top groups you can change over to on the repeater. You can't go off to 91 or the other ones, but I think CMC, there's one around that you can actually change in the different talk groups. So if you keep the repeater and put in talk group 91, then you set that repeater up for talk group 91 worldwide, and it stays there until somebody else changes it to go on to a different talk group. You know, so that's why I use an open spot. That way I'm not taking up the repeater and locking it up on one set frequency. But like I said, once you lock into 91, it's extremely difficult to get it changed over. At least on my open spot it is. So I only do 91 every so often when it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah, I heard about, or I read about 91 there. I've been kind of wanting to get in there and see what it was all about. But like I say, there's a CMC there in Detroit. That's the only one I can really get and use. But I noticed, let's see, there's one for the, what is it, 2166 or something. Michigan Nets or whatever is one. And I think the other one is USA Nationwide or something. So I got both of those programmed in there. But while it's still monitoring, there's all kinds of other talk groups that come in through there, which kind of confused me at first, which isn't too hard.
Well, if you're off of if you're off of the CMC and you do talk group 31261, that is the MI5 for Michigan. That's part of Central Michigan Network. If you do talk group 3100, that's United States, and then the other one is 93, which is also United States. I'm trying to figure out the difference between the two. One's busier than the other. But if you go to Brandmeister.network, I think it is, and you can see all the talk groups through Brandmeister. And there's a slew load of them. I think I tapped into Italy the other night to sit there and listen. So it's unique. It's different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Once I got this radio working with the DMR, I hadn't loaded all the digital IDs in here, so all I had was numbers flying across there all the time. Digital ID numbers, talk group numbers, and all this, and I thought, my gosh, how am I going to remember all these numbers kind of thing, you know? So finally I broke down and loaded the digital IDs, and yeah, what a difference, you know, it just pops up everybody's name and location and all that good stuff. It's great, you know. Live and learn.
Yeah, did you go through Brandmeister to get your Anytone? And did you get the hotspot for it also, or did you just get the radio, or did you get the Anytone off through a different distributor?
No, I didn't get the hotspot with it. What do they call it? The SkyBridge, I think it was, kind of thing. I just hit the radio, and I'm trying to remember where. I think I went to BridgeCom, and there was a little hiccup there. And where did I cannot remember. It might have been DX Engineering, or maybe, I forgot the other one in Minnesota there. Anyway, it was one of those guys I got the radio from.
Okay, BridgeCom, that's the one. Like that. But yeah, just go to Google Brainmeister Network, and then that's where you see all the talk groups, all the repeaters. You register your, you probably already have it if you got your DMR ID, and you're using a network link on it into Brandmeister. But yeah, check out Brandmeister if not, and you'll find all the talk groups in there. There's a whole list of them.
Yeah, I think I got an account there. I guess, or signed in there or whatever. And then they have that screen where they showed last heard, you know, and there's a whole bunch of talk groups there. So I know I sit there and try to learn and just look and see which talk groups were kind of busy, and things were changing and moving so fast they you couldn't hardly keep track of nothing. It's a busy place, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the hose line. And if you have your, if you have your speakers turned on your computer, if you click on one of those talk groups on the hose line, you can monitor it. And if you look in the upper left-hand corner is the talk group, and the right-hand corner shows last heard, and it shows, of course, the ID. But it also, if there's like a little person there in red, that means that it's active and somebody's talking on it.
Yeah, you're right. I did click on a couple of those and listen to the conversations there for a while. it's very interesting. I've got to know, do you do anything on the TGIF?
Hang on a minute. I don't have an all-star node network, so I can get on the DMR from home, aside from my MI5 mobile kind of thing. Look at TGIF.
Yeah, it seems like, I think I have an account there too, but it seems like there's enough on Brandmeister to keep a guy busy for a couple of lifetimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got Brandmeister, you know, which is DMR, and you got TGIF, which I think, that's a different type of DMR. Then you got System Fusion. You have A-Star. And there's another quiet one out there that's in slow developmental stages, and that's P25.
Yeah, I've been hearing a little bit about that one, too. And there's one I never hear about is NXDN, I think, or something like that. Just, we sure have a lot of toys to play with.
Yeah, NXDN is another one. I was just looking that up the other day. And there are NXDN frequencies. I had it on my laptop. I was just looking at radios for that and see how you get into that. But that, that's another digital realm right there.
Well, that's kind of what I like about the hotspots and nodes thing, is you can sort of cross-band from one to another kind of thing. Although, I've got a Zum Spot Elite, and while it works fine with YSF, trying to go from YSF to DMR has proven to be a little bit of a problem.
That's where you jump on here in the FBI and ask questions, and I have that summary. I have an answer for you.
Yeah, roger that. I replaced the PiStar's operating system and the Zum Spot with that WPSD, and I kind of like that a lot. But it's a nice look. It's got a nice dashboard, nice configuration, and all that kind of stuff. But there's still a lot to learn, you know.
But ham radio, you're always learning, and it keeps the tech sharp in your brain.
Yes, sir, I agree 100%. Although I'm not sure my tacks are very sharp anymore. Anyway, I got to get out of here. A truck just pulled up, and I can hardly hear myself. And I'm going to have to hit the little boys' room here pretty quick. So thank you very, very much for the cue, so I sure appreciate it. And stay safe and be careful out there. I know you do a lot of driving. Have a great day. K-E-A-W-O-J.
Sounds good, Rich. Go take care of the truck and everything else like that. 273 Kia. And anytime you want to jump in, like I said, I'm always here. K-E-A-T-A-T-A. Good morning.
What up, Mr. Tom?
I'm taking the scenic route down west or westbound on 8 Mile going up to Livonia.
Okay, westbound down. I'm going up to, I don't know, Cubs Brothers, somewhere in the thumb. But first I'm going to go grab my Big B coffee, because they got to have that.
Oh, man.
Today is busy Big B coffee day. I'm going to try the ump.
Okay, yeah, I'm on TJ.
Coffee is ordered. Check that box.
Yeah, I can hear you if you're on home.
You can hear me, but what?
You're on the Mount Clemens Tunneler, is that what you're on now?
Yeah, it should be a little better.
A little better, not as crackly. I mean, I'm hearing a little bit of crackle here, but it's probably just the area that I'm in. I'm on 175.
I'm hearing Wally just fine.
There you go, Tom. It's on your end. We still got to check your antenna, because I can't believe that that's right.
Well, it's matched. I mean, that's what I did when I ordered it. It was for 2 meter 440 with the right range of frequencies. It has a, I think, a 4 on VHF and a 3 dB gain on UHF. But I tightened it. Yeah, it might be, I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out.
We need to check it with a meter.
And sometimes tight is too tight. You know, some people crank these antennas down really tight, and I know that's not a good thing.
It's just a little mag mount, so, but hey, we can check it out, no problem. How are you on Saturday?
I'm pretty good. What's it got on the back of it, a 259? PL-259, does it have one or two coming off the back?
it's single PLT 59, and I checked that, and I tightened that down. I didn't see any problems with the solder joint or anything.
It's not what you can see, it's what we can't see. All right, I got a QP meter. At least that'll tell us if it's close.
Yeah, that works for me. We can do the breakfast thing on Saturday and then check it out after that.
Are you going to bed tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. We'll do it after class tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to be isolated here for a couple minutes. I'll be right back. Against the wall. Be right back. Give me about 5 minutes.
Here at D8, KLL, KFA, DRC.
KF8ERC from WD8KLL. KF8ERC from WD8KLL. Nothing heard, WD8KLL clear.
WADD, Richmond.
WDHKLL, Holly.
What's happening in Holly?
I'm not sure. I'm in Burton talking off the Holly repeater. How you doing today?
I'm good, heading towards the thumb, or at least close to the thumb. Driving through Richmond, going through Tom's neck of the woods, next town, Memphis. Not to be confused with the Tennessee one, but the Michigan one. So I'm going to go up there, see a client. 2 hours worth of driving for about 10 minutes worth of work.
Ah, yeah, good for you. Well, sometimes you got to do that. Sounds like you're a good man helping out your family. It's Wally, isn't it?
Yes, sir. This is me, Wally. Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima Yankee. So, I hail from New Baltimore.
Okay, yeah, I think we spoke before. I'm somewhat of a new ham. I just got my tech in, end of March, and updated as general here last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So, and I know Jack, I haven't heard him. I was calling him out here, but going to see what he was up to today. So I'm sitting here watching a guy power wash my house today. The first time I ever had that done. Boy, does that feel good. I don't have to get out there in the heat and do that.
Yeah, considering it's this early and it's already 84. So, I thought I heard Jack trying to call you. I think your guys' timing was just off. Because I could have swore that was him. I've been listening more than I've been talking. Lots of different work things going on, so, but I could have swore I heard him trying to call you earlier.
Okay, yeah, a lot of times he's on a handheld and I'm not picking him up as well. Or I went on scan and I missed him, so. Anywho, well, safe travels out there, Wally. Good talking with you. First personal is Greg here, and like I said, I'm up near Burton, talking off the Holly repeater.
I'm in the corner of Division and Main Street in Richmond, and I can see the tower off to my right. So I'm on low power. Yeah, the handheld shouldn't have much to do with it. It's, all Jack's got to do is hit the repeater. The repeater is the one that does all the work and all the talking. A lot of people confuse that. So, it's, you know, your handheld's only got to get to the repeater. And after that, the repeater does all the muscle, either by land, landline, internet, microlink, or just pure power. So, just to help you with your terminology there a little bit. So, very good, Greg. You have a good day. I'm going to keep motoring through here and be sure, kind of a anti-speed freak, make sure I keep my eye on the speed limit. Take care, bud. You have a good day. Try calling Jeff again. I could have swore he was calling you. You're DLL or something, right?
Yeah. WDAKLL. So, yeah, I'm using my late mother's call sign, Vanity. So, she was an extra back in 1980. So, happy to have her call.
Well, I'm glad it went to somebody who deserves it. So, congratulations on that. So, take care and have a good one. And go ahead and try Jack again. Talk to you later. WADD.
Okay, Wally, good talking with you. Safe travels. WD8KLL clear. KF8DRC from WD8KLL. You got a copy check? Nothing heard. WD8KLL clear the frequency.
W8ZD from NAWRO. Negative copy, NAWRO.
Who are you looking for, Tim? W8ZD.
That was you. Here you're driving through my town.
I am. I got my passport clearance this morning.
I know. We required that LexisNexis thing, too, so I don't know.
I got Nexus. I got Global Entry. I got all of them, dude. I've actually been forced to travel a lot of places. Some I wanted to go, some I didn't want to go. So, but I got them all. So, I got Nexus, I got Global Entry, got a passport, got an enhanced driver's license, and permission from my mother.
All right, looks like you're good. Then don't know about Tom's Town up there. Memphis might get you stopped. Where are you headed in the thumb? My trip usually was up to Port Austin, M19 all the way up, but that was quite some time ago now.
I'm heading to Tubbs Brothers, the dealership, and I forget the name of the town, but that's the place I'm going.
All right, should be a good trip up that way. I don't know if we've done a test north, have we, for the Richmond? Going straight up M19 would be interesting, see how far north you can get. And item two, you're going to be at the meeting tomorrow then, I assume.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be at the meeting tomorrow. We got some sort of leader meeting tonight that I'm doing. So I'm getting meetinged out between meetings for my volunteer stuff, which I enjoy, don't get me wrong, and meetings for work. Got a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the office. You know, the meetings will continue till the morale improves. So I think I'm in Memphis. So hopefully Tom will let me drive through here. Not getting me pulled over, calling a favor.
You're making me laugh now. So I saw that radio you posted, and maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. That looks kind of interesting. I can't believe that price, but then, of course, there's programming, stuff like that. But it looks interesting. A lot better than the price on the tape you were looking at, but, of course, two different radios.
I did break down and bought the tape. I had a really nice bonus check last month I thought, okay, I'm going to spend some money on myself. So I did end up getting that. Yeah, and that XTS article, that was kind of interesting. You hunt around, you can get those things pretty reasonable. That's a nice radio. It's probably the same radio you used in your previous career.
Slightly different in appearance, but, they're all kind of the same. I did hear the update on the tape. That's good. I didn't know if you actually pulled the trigger, so that'll be interesting when that comes in. I'd like to take a look at it.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. Well, it's multi-band. It's all of them, including one that I can't use. You know, I mean, that's a big no-no. That one belongs to the public service group. But the other three bands, VHF, UHF, and 900, are usable. There's a somewhat healthy presence of 900 radios in Michigan, repeaters. I think there's two in southeast Michigan. I think there's three on the west side of the state, and they're connected to some of the P25 stuff and what they call it, multi-band, multi-protocol. And I now see Kenwood makes a multi-band, multi-protocol radio as well. So it'd be kind of nice to have one radio that does it all. Right now, it's wherever I want to go, I have to switch radios around. Like today, I've got the P25 in the work car, but I can't use anything DMR. So, but it'd be nice to see, have one that does everything. So, and then our ARPSC thing is all VHF stuff. So if something happens there and I'm on the road, I'll have the right radio with me no matter what. And the biggest thing is I wanted it.
Yeah, that all makes sense. And switching radios can't just be a pain. So, we're looking forward to your review on that. Let's call it a Wally review. How about that?
Yeah, that's one thing about Wally. You'll never have to wonder what Wally's thinking. I'll be honest with everybody about it, Is it nice? Is it not? If it takes off, I don't know if necessarily that brand is going to take off in this stage. I do think after looking what Kenwood just did, I do think that multi-protocol, multi-band thing is going to take off. I do think that. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if somewhere in the near future, we don't see one of the big ham guys coming out with something of that nature or Motorola coming out with something of that nature now that, Kenwood's done it. So.
It's oddly enough, I find all that really interesting. I'm just kind of wondering with our ARPSC group if, at some point, not now, we're just kind of starting it up again, but if we're going to end up with something down the line like P25, I guess Oakland is using DMR a lot more, we're not really using it at all, but yet. So that's interesting how it might develop in future.
I do know that P25 is in the cards for us, but I also think it's a ways off. There's a lot involved for it. There are, there's a nice P25 presence for amateur radio already around here. Also, too, another thing I don't forever get. Let's see if I still got this. Oh, I'm going to get my power up. I should be a little stronger. This repeater, Richmond repeater, works a lot nicer north than it does south, which is good,
Yes, so far you got a clean signal coming in, but I know at some point we're going to lose you. But, yeah, I'm interested in, I know Dave mentioned the MPSC system. I know they got a few talk groups that a few select people could use. I know they're not developed yet, but at some point, if we, you know, I assume Borough County radios, that's also an interesting part of doing what we're doing over there.
Yeah. I do know that there's a lot to it. There's a lot, you know, so that, I think that that's the biggest draw without letting too much out of the bag. It's not just a matter of here you go. So, you know, there's lots of jobs and checks and things. Well, you were in that business, you understand that, you know, but sometimes you just can't do things. It doesn't matter what it is, sometimes you just can't do it. So, I worked for big companies all my life. I've never worked for any big governments, but I worked for big companies all my life, and it was just amazing. Some of the simplest things I couldn't do because it wasn't approved by corporate, or it wasn't approved by Rodney, or it wasn't approved by Fred, or, you know what I'm saying, or any of those other people that, you know, I used to have to work for. I'm going over the top 69 right now, believe it or not. What is this, M29? So, it's 11 miles to go to Brockway Road.
Yeah. Well, your signal is still strong. Of course, that's the high point there, so let's see what happens when you drop down a bit. In regards to the state system, oddly enough, during the election, I remember hearing on the monitor that I have the clerks for the election, the different, even New Baltimore, I remember them, they had access to certain talk groups, and that was the first time I heard that. So I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of an amazing system. You know, I bought an SDR, a couple SDRs and some software just to play around with it. I really could care less what they say. You know, I did that for 20 years, you know, on a volunteer type basis. You know, I worked on the ambulance, worked on the fire trucks, I did all of that kind of stuff. So I really, there's nothing that could be said on any of that stuff that I could care less. But it was long, long before all this high-tech stuff, and I was more interested in the techie, geeky part of it, and that's amazing how they can do all of that on 20 channels. I'm in Emmett, by the way. How they can do that all on just 20 channels, that is just amazes. That just amazes me, and I know it's like, oh, wow, shut up, Wally, no big deal, but it just floors me how that all works.
No, I hear you. Good signal still, by the way, in Emmett, still good signal. Yeah, I gave up my county prep in 2010 and took a hiatus because I didn't want anything to do with it. And later on, I got a unit in radio, SDS 100, that can do the simulcast and still hear the different talk groups without distortion. And it's interesting what is all out there. But anyway, it's a conversation for another time. Let's see how far you can get unless you've got someplace else to go radio-wise.
No, the only thing that would waylay me is my work phone ringing and sitting here on my dash telling me where to go. I think I'm going to Sandusky. I think that's the town that this is in, Sandusky.
Ah, yes. That used to be my halfway point between here and Port Austin. They used to have a big boy there, but unfortunately I hear the big boy has closed. So you are getting a little crunchy now, so I think we're getting to the end of the rope here, but that's at least for today, for today's conditions.
I'll bet I'm good now because I'm climbing.
Correct. Back to being good. So I gotta get. I know Tom's gonna sign off in some level ones tomorrow. I'm hopefully gonna sign off in level two, but I'm working on that deployment kit. You know, I still gotta finish that up, but I think I'll have it done by today so I can bring it over there for them to take a look at tomorrow. And hopefully I got that all done. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I found all my credentials from what I did before. Still licensed, just all the other things that I said I was. But the NIMS thing dropped off. So I did do NIMS 1 test. Like I said, this is probably the third time that I've taken it. And I haven't had enough of time between work, helping out with radio stuff, and, you know, getting everybody's radios going and things of that nature. I haven't had much time to get, you know, all the other things that are required of me. So I'm probably going to be one of the slow kids in the back of the class come Thursday. But I'll get there, but I just got to sit down and take the NIMS 2, 7, and 8 tests, and I'll get those done. That'll be real easy.
So if you're just going for the level 1, the 800 is optional. But, yeah, you do need the 200 and the 100. Although Dave does have the ability to waive it, but obviously you could talk to him or do whatever you think best. I was going to think of something else. But, looking forward to the meeting tomorrow. And, if you see Dave tonight, tell him to check that link that I gave him to my Dropbox account, and I've modified it for like a prototype database for ARPIS, and see what he thinks about it. I think it might work out for what he's looking for.
Yeah, I'll bring that up to him, so I'll come to take a look at that. So, yeah, the NIMS thing, but either way, I still help out on the other side of the state once in a while if they get overwhelmed or they go to a fire convention or something bad happens or things of that nature. I still go over there and help, and, you know, so I'll get my NIMS thing back. So, you know, my driving thing is still good, believe it or not. Still can drive red lights and sirens. That's still current. So fire 1, fire 2, that's still current. So I got vehicle extrication. That's still current. So I still got all of that stuff. So I'm good there. But the NIMS, for some reason, the NIMS one disappeared. So I figured out, I called Kyle over there, the chief. I said, I'll get the NIMS back. So that way, if they do call and ask for help, I think last time I helped them was like last February. So they had a young man that got damaged by electrical line. It wasn't good. So I went and worked there for a couple, 3 days, helped them out. But in my old age, all I do is drive.
All right. For testing purposes, just a little crackly in the signal, but still perfectly readable. And back to what you said about not finding the ICS certificates. Yeah, I lucked out. I found mine from 2006. So Dave was good with that. So. It's fun stuff. I actually enjoy doing this.
Yeah, I'm going to dance my rope right now. I'm sure of it, because now odds are just snap, crackle, pop. 136 Highway, M136. Well, that's about the end of it, I think. So I'm going to say this, because I haven't sent this in a minute. WAPD, so if I lose you, there you go, 5 miles south of Yale.
NAWRO, Richmond. Yes, I think we're going to call it. Thanks, Wally, for the QSO. We'll see you tomorrow night. NAWRO, November 8, wireless Richmond operator, after yours.
WAPD. Look, I'm climbing again, so I'll probably be good on this one, but I'm sure after the climb I'm going to fall. So I think this is the end of the road. All right, later, Gator. See ya. WAPD.
ABAPR and AW.
Hello, Jake.
Hello, Phil. Phil, I just kind of wondered, how many UHF machines y'all got hooked up here? You know, because I guess I may have most of y'all machines in here, because right now I'm on 442175, and then it's 442600, 442500. Is there any more hooked up here? Did we lose you? Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we lost you there, Phil. We probably, I don't know, must be something going on with my radio. 7-3 from November 8, Whiskey, Julie Lima.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what happened to you?
Did I drop out?
You certainly did.
Okay. I've got this note here I'm using. It's got some issues. Yeah, I was saying there's a whole bunches of machines. Detroit, Northland, and Richmond, there's Oldfield, and some are, there's Hills, Holly, I think. So, a whole lot. Copy that. Yeah, Jay, you were all noisy on that last one.
Well, I spelled W-A-T-I-J.
Good morning. How are you today, Greg?
Yeah, doing good. I just turned the radio. I heard you talking, but when I heard you, it sounded like your audio was cutting in and out, like not clipping, but something. But it's clear now. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I was going through a note, and there's apparently some kind of connection issue with it. I got to figure out what's going on.
Well, I think you already did, you know. You know, there was a problem already. I was just describing it. But, yeah, I figured there was something going on, and you probably had a handle on it.
Well, now I'm going direct about the node, so I was just experimenting.
Were you talking to Jay, in AWJL?
Yeah, I was, but I don't know what happened to him.
Sounds like he's still there, but I just wonder what repeater he's trying to get into. He shouldn't have any problem, I would think. There's a few areas that I think he's down in, he's down over there. I'm not sure he's in Detroit or Redford.
Yeah, he was going through the Detroit one, 175, but I don't know. That one's got pretty good coverage. I don't know why he's not making it.
Yeah, you're not making it, Jay. I don't know if he's in a mobile or what, but you might want to check your antenna. All right, Phil, I'm not going to take any more of your time. Good to hear from you, and I want to say hello. It's been a while. W-A-T-I-J.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I got to troubleshoot this node here. Something's going on with it. It just keeps dropping connection and stuff. So we'll work on that a little bit. Catch you later. AB8PR.
AB8PR, can you copy me now?
Yeah, you're in there now.
Hey, what is the PL for the 442175?
Let me see here. Hold on. I believe it's 123. Test. Yeah.
Well, that's what I got, Bill. How are you copying me now?
I copy you fine. Are you on 175?
Yeah, I am. But I just have to figure out where this repeater's located. You know, I got my beam, you know, I have to sort of feel my way around, which is, I don't like this rotor I got here, because it's designed for TVs and stuff, but, yeah, where is this one located in 175?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's downtown Detroit.
Okay. Well, all right. It sounds good. It just looked like I was having a problem there trying to get into it there. So, well, all right. Well, Phil, thanks for coming back. Because I got to do a lot of playing with my radio here. I don't know. I might have to send this thing in. I just got 9918 because it looks like UHF. I can't get no more than about 13 watts out of this radio on 2 meters. I mean, 440, but 2 meters, all right. It's put out about 50. I got to find out what's going on. All right. I'm going to say 73. See you, and we'll catch you later. This is November 8th, Whiskey Julie Lima.
Okay, catch you later. ABPR.
W8RJD Mobile. W8BD Downtown Richmond.
Oops, wrong band. You made it back in 8WRO.
I did. Ran through some significant rain north of Richmond. Storm clouds that looked like they could materialize to something. I'll forget the next town north of Yale. And that's it. Now it looks like it's breaking up a little bit here in downtown Richmond. So how you doing?
Yeah, good. All set. I was watching the radar, and Yeah, I'm kind of noticing that as well. Kind of isolated, and it seems to be breaking up.
None of these had any significant punch anywhere, did they?
Well, of course, if one of the big red blobs came on top of you, I'm sure it could, but I was watching the weather feed, and I didn't see any watches or warnings of any kind in our area.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. Usually if the chemistry is, for lack of a better word, if the chemistry is right, usually the Weather Service will issue, you know, a watch, a warning, a strongly worded advisory or something like that, and they really didn't say much of anything. So I figured, you know, the conditions must not be, ideal to create anything significant or substantial.
Which is always good. And by the by, Dave sent me an invite, so I'm going to be there this afternoon.
Oh, very good.
Got to figure out what I want to eat off of that menu there.
The food is usually pretty good at the place. I mean, that one it's not as great as some of the other ones, but the franchise in general is usually pretty good. What do you mean the left turn? How am I going to get home?
I see. You're down in the dreaded construction zone over there. All right. Well, I'll let you go, Wally. We'll see you shortly. NAWRO, after you.
Yeah, I'll see you in a minute or so. So it'll all work out good. So 4:30, I think.
Correcto mundo. 4:30 down there. I know exactly where that's at. Normally go to Bob Evans, but that's fine right there. I understand where it's at.
Yeah, I just kept heading south on Gratiot, going by AEF. So I'll just turn on 26. All right, St. Wellington. W-A-D.
N-A-W-R-O.
W8FU. K8BB. NANM. What? Are you seeing it?
No. What am I looking for?
Thunder, true to trees.
I will go look.
Thank you very much.
I will have to go downstairs to do so. K8BB.
N8NM, K8BB. Nothing noteworthy here. Okay, Jinkuyapun. We'll keep looking for that Thunder over here.
Yeah, I heard a few rumbles. We had some rain earlier, but it's kind of a nothing burger.
Are you home today? N8NM.
I am. Working from home and actually doing a lot of work, but yes, at home. Got the little Class D amplifiers upstairs hooked up too. That was fun.
Very bueno. Hey, I just came up to sit in the tent in the rain. Looks pretty dark off to the west, but it's just kind of kind of raining lightly. So anyways, I had to see who was seeing Tundra, because it's very important to know. I'll let you get back to work. Enough foolishness for now. N8NM.
Well, I can add a report of rain, because it is starting to rain here. Rain pretty good, actually. All right, well, you know, keep us abreast. Breast. K-A-P-B.
N8NM, portable CDU.
W4XED, this is W3LNS.
W3LNS, W4XED. Wasn't sure if you're already home by now or not.
Yeah, I got home somewhere around 2-ish. And since I got in the pool, I got 45 minutes of sun time, and then the rain came down.
I don't know about down there, but it hit hard over here at over here in St. Clair.
Yeah, it was pretty hard in Macomb Township, too. I mean, I couldn't even see the turn lane when I was taking Gavin to McDonald's.
Well, we may not be done seeing him yet. Probably over the next couple hours, still have some pop-ups.
Well, it's still dark over here in Casco, and still hearing thunder, so, yeah, I don't doubt it.
Just don't ask me to cook on the grill tonight.
Nah, no grilling. I did get the mail, though, so you don't have to stop and get that.
Copy that. Okay, I'll be home in about 15 minutes.
Sounds good. 88. W4XED. This is W3LNS signing out.
88. 33LNS, W4XED. I'll be standing by. What's going on, Rue from Pooh?
Just over here fighting the good fight, trying to get home.
Roger, I'm up here in the Clem, got a few little dribblies on the windshield, and so it's coming down a very little bit. Looks like it rained a bit more than this before I got out here. How's it your way?
Once you get near home, hopefully it's blown over, but it has definitely been thunderstorming for a bit. So you'll have some fun. It's not that bad, though.
Speak for yourself. I got dumped on.
Interesting. Maybe it was storming while I was inside and I didn't notice, but I'm at coming up on 16 in Grosbeck here, and sky looks gray and there's a little drizzle coming down, but I would not know there was a squall. Huh.
I'm at 11 and John R., and it is raining pretty good.
Can you stop at Tellway there at 11 and John R. and bring me some burgers?
Is it cats? Is it dogs, or is it cats and dogs? It's only cats right now.
Or it could be raining men. It's raining men. How's that song go? From the disco era?
It's definitely not raining men right now.
Sunshine up here.
All right, where's up here?
Where the water's leaded.
Conversation killer.
I guess so, bragging about my sunshine.
My grass is going to be so long after this rain, it's going to be terrible.
Yep. I'm going to have to talk my kid into coming by and cutting it if I can.
That is a fantastic plan. My kid's too young still to cut the grass, so I'll probably do it myself.
Come on, yesterday I had to double cut some spots. It was so long. I'm going on vacation next week, so it's going to get a week of growth.
Where are you going?
Going to hang out by the Elf Station in the UP.
You know, I was going to either say, where are you going? But my other option was, you're heading up to the Keweenaw. I had a feeling.
Yeah, we might go to the Keweenaw, but we're south of Ishpeming.
Oh, I thought you were going to your alma mater there.
I'll probably take a trip out there, but find the Elf Station, and we're going to wait just past that. Go to Ishpeming, turn left, and drive in the woods for an hour.
You Finns and your Yelperdom.
I haven't been up there probably 3 years, maybe more.
I saw a video yesterday on the web. It was in Finland, and they have bunkers, underground bunkers built for the entire population with some room to spare. That's what happens when you have a border with Russia. You get paranoid.
Yeah, we had a housemate when I was in school that was from Finland for a year, and he said that, you know, they had to do the mandatory military service when they're
What is that all about?
That big Russian border to worry about.
I don't know. I'm moving into it, so maybe it was kittens, but maybe it's cats now.
Got enough earth, there's water on the ground.
Well, we're pretty wet down here. I can see a line in the clouds. I don't know if that's a break in the rain, but it's not bad. I understand there was some testy stuff, but not a whole lot. I don't know about up your way, but down here it's been hit and miss through southeast.
I haven't seen anything yet, but I know there's a front coming our way. Hey, get one.
W8FU.
Sorry if I jumped in and jumped out, guys, and didn't come back. Got a phone call.
I thought it was me.
No, you were talking about the rain and the little sprinkles in Mount Clemens, but I was sitting at Kenmont and Lobster, and I got dumped on. I mean, I couldn't walk outside. It was coming down so much I couldn't see across the parking lot. Sunny, and it was just... thunder and lightning, and then all of a sudden we lost power in the building I was in, and all my equipment decided to take a dump.
Your equipment poops?
Well, the controllers,
Bill,
batteries, but all the card readers are on a separate power supply, and they do not have batteries. So when the power went out, all the card readers died, the controller stayed up, my server died, all the cameras went down because they're all PoE on switches, and so I lost probably about 70 cameras and 120 card readers all at one time.
I thought this was a security system. You need to get that thing hardened.
We're not allowed to have batteries in our power supplies for the electric locks because in the event of a fire alarm or power outage like this, they need to get into the building one way or another. So that's the whole electrical NFPA kind of thing. But our equipment is powered off of their electricity, and some of the UPS has decided not to play nice today. That's one drawback of the customer saying, you can use our network and you can use our computers for your stuff. And if they don't properly maintain their power backup, then there's an issue. Where if it was all my equipment, like I have at other sites, I have huge UPSs, they're all my powered switches, all my servers, all my computers, all my workstations.
You would just think if somebody's asking someone to install a security-based system, that would kind of be one of the major bill of points, that, you know, one of the major things they would want, and they would recognize that and either get their system brought up to, you know, proper level of protection or, I don't know. It's just, you know, what are they buying? Are they buying a security system or just, I don't know. It maybe they're not looking at it as security. Maybe this is just archival or something.
Well, they look at it on a network level, more or less. You know, their network switches, which are managed. They manage them, they're on their UPSs, and their UPSs, you know, when the power glitched, I don't know if the UPSs shut down because of the surge or what, but when the switches came back, everything came back except for one room, one IDM closet, and that one there isn't connected to the UPS yet, so I still had 16 doors down and probably about 10 cameras because they're coming off of the customer-owned PoE switch, and they can't touch it, so it's like, oh, well, our hands are tied.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just saying you would think the customer is buying some sort of an access security system. You think they would understand the importance of having hardened. If they demand that they use your, if you use their network, You would think that they would have a clue that they have to, their stuff has to be robust.
100% agree, but you know how things go sometimes. The only robust access system I know is at a Category X airport that I worked at for 20 years. That stuff there, that's back, and they have backups on backups on backups there.
Well, this is probably the snafu they needed to wake them up, so I'm hoping that they will now take a look at what they got and get it fixed.
Yeah, I think this may be a turning point. We'll see what the facility director will say, because he has the A or D. I mean, this is the site that I've been battling with, that I've been talking with you guys on for the past 6 months. I'm battling with equipment that won't stay running or is having the other issues. And each time we talk to the manufacturer support team, they're like, do this, do this, do this. So we've done everything that we could possibly do, and I put probably about $15,000 worth of parts and smarts into this site.
You know, it's funny you say that. I've got a location that's been giving me fits, and I just had a pro come in, take a look at it, and we were convinced that it was, you know, network related, and they confirmed it, and without any, you know, seeding of the information, we said we were going to not say a word. We're just going to tell them, here's the problems we're having, fix it, not get them down some chasing something, you know, they shouldn't. They came to the same conclusion, giving us some numbers for replacing all the switches. So sometimes, you know, and see, since you say they're running on their network, well, there you go. It's the one thing you haven't control over. Maybe that's the whole problem.
Right. Well, not only that, the way theirs is configured, when we just found this out today, is these switches go off of firewall protocols and something else in the domain. So, of course, they use MAC filtering, and, you know, our stuff is on a VLAN. So when these switches go down and they come back up, they have to ping the firewall to get their profile. Once they get the profile, then it sends it down to the managed switch, and then it reboots and goes back to normal operations. And sometimes it takes anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes. But eventually everything came up, everything linked back up. Yeah, also the drawback on that too is, when it's their equipment or their network and their servers and their, computers or whatever else, and then we don't have control over that, and when some certain IT people or network people like to go in there and fiddle fart with settings and say, oh, let's change this or let's change that, you know, then we lose equipment and we're like, oh, it's your fault. When we start writing bills for thousands of dollars and service calls, they kind of smarten up and don't touch our stuff anymore.
How long were you just talking?
About a minute and a half. You know me, I'm long-winded.
Very weird. I said something about maybe it's their network, and I unkeyed, and I heard absolutely nothing. So I picked up my radio and said, okay, he must have got a phone call, and I just threw my call sign out. When I unkeyed, you were finishing up that last, whatever that last little bit was, when we start sending them a bill, maybe they stopped messing with our stuff. That's about all I caught. I'm assuming that you had a lot to say before that. So very weird. I did not hear any of it. Doesn't really matter anyhow. I'm pulling down my street here at home, so we'll just have to pick it up later.
Yeah, I was just saying that when their IT people starts messing with our equipment that's on their network and they mess things up, then we write a very large bill and they start learning their lessons to leave our stuff alone. But since you're at your own QTH, you have yourself a somewhat dry day if you can, and we'll talk to you in the morning. 73 WAQ from KCTO.
Oh, I'll stay pretty dry, I think. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
W8DD.
ACKJOWDD. WBD Mobile.
W8VDNAWRO.
This is terrible.
Talking about that traffic jam on 23 Mile, I didn't know that was there. I'm going to go back the freeway.
23, M19, everything. It's disgusting. This isn't even funny. How they can screw up so much, it just floors me. I mean, it's at least a mile. I'm quite upset, as you can tell.
Well, I think it was 5 minutes in front of you, so, yeah, hopefully you get through. But, yeah, no worries. I am destinated here, so I will be in the parking lot.
Well, tell everybody I'm not destinated, and I'm probably going to be a little bit late. W8BD.
Copy that. N8WRO, clear.
Good evening. How you doing, Ray? W8PIG.
Just heading home from Warren, trying to make my way to the freeway, the I-75.
Is it pretty busy?
Well, I work right off of the 11 miles, so normally I'll take 11 to 75, because if I get on 696, it's a mess between where I work and I-75. So I just take the service drive to hop on there, and it seems to work pretty good that way.
Yeah, very good. Well, it's just the way it is, you know. Eventually they're going to finish those projects, I hope.
Yeah, well, the problem is people, they wait till the last minute to switch lanes, and then it messes everybody up.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, when you got a lot of traffic like that, it's not uncommon.
Yeah, anyway, what have you been up to? I put a different radio in the work thing here. I had a Yaesu STM 300, which had Fusion on it, but I didn't really use Fusion, and it had a little tiny display on it. So I put my 350 back in here that has a huge display. So I like this one a lot better. It's pretty much the same radio, except it's just analog only.
Well, it sounds good. Sounds good on this end.
Yeah, I just couldn't stand the little dinky display on it because I like to watch APRS beacons on there, and it's really hard to see when they pop up on there. This one's probably 7 inches wide and 2 inches tall, so it's pretty big.
Probably a little easier on the eyes too, right?
Right, and this one's cool because I don't know why they get rid of it in the newer APRS radios, but this one has a speedometer on it, and it has the altitude, and it also has a barometer, so I can watch the weather on it. And sometimes when I'm driving, I like to see what my altitude is. Like if I'm going in a high elevation area, just for radio purposes. Like today, I was out in Lake Orion, and that was like 1,200 feet. But there's a landfill out there, up to 24, and I figured out why I can't get any radio signals to the north of my house very well, because the landfill's there.
Hey, I got a question for you. You ever hear from Jason?
Not much. I know he's living out in Heartland, so he can't really get into any of the repeaters. I think there's one out there in Fenton linked to this one, if I remember right. I'll have to get a hold of him, but one of our, we just opened up a repair shop down there at the store that he works at. Saw a repair guy and met him a couple times. So, yeah, but other than that, I haven't really talked to him.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's still around. I don't hear him on the repeaters anymore or anything. I wonder if he got out of the hobby.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to ask him what's going on. He's probably on HF. I don't know. He's in a mobile home, so I don't know what he can put up for antennas or anything either.
Well, how did he end up there? I thought he inherited his dad's place.
Yeah, it's on M59 and, let's see, it's west of Cedardine Road, so it's just in the Heartland. It's a mobile home community.
Okay, I thought maybe it was like a ranch or something.
No, it's a pretty nice place, though. It's pretty big for a manufactured home.
All right, it's probably... Well, it's a manufactured home. I think there's a difference compared to just a mobile home.
Yeah, it's probably built a little bit better. Definitely bigger, though, and it's a pretty open floor plan. It's been a while since I've been over there.
Yeah, I just wondered. I haven't heard them. I forgot his wife's name. She used to work up at the weather... up there in White Lake during storm events.
Yeah, I heard her running the MyCon not too long ago on the DMR side on the Event 1 talk group.
Okay, that was her. I thought maybe it was somebody new because I didn't recognize the voice.
Yeah, that's her. She still goes up there. Piper is her name.
Yeah, okay, well, at least she's still doing that. All right, Ray, I got to get going here. I got to get something done here. I wanted to say hello to you. I heard you call, and didn't want you to be out there by yourself. So good talking to you and motor safely. TC8SZT, WAPIG.
All right, thanks for coming back. I'm finally getting on the 75 here. I'll be here for a little while. KC8SZT.
Thank you. PE3CCI testing. CCI testing. Victor Echo 3, Charlie Charlie India, going to the All-Star repeater in Perry Sound. Can anybody copy me? Over.
Station calling. I didn't get your call sign altogether there to the All-Star. But this is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, Memphis, Michigan.
This is Victor Echo 3, Charlie Charlie India. The name is Brad. I'm located in Windsor, Ontario. So, am I doing this right? I entered in the pound key and I entered in my note that I wanted to connect to, and I don't know if it did it right or I'm doing something wrong, but the name is Brad and I'm located in Windsor and my call sign is Victor Echo 3, Charlie Charlie India. Over.
Victor Echo 3, Charlie Charlie India, you did it just right. I hear you loud and clear on your All-Star node. And I'm on, where am I at? Memphis, Michigan, which is north of Richmond. So I'm east of the river, or west of the river for me, however you want to do it. I'm up here by Port Huron. Victor Echo 3, Charlie Charlie India, since you're so close there, you can hit the Detroit, repeater, that's 442175, 442175, with a PO of 123123.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to connect to the Perry Sound link in Northern Ontario. They have a repeater up there on All-Star link, and I was trying to connect to that. So, can you give me the commands for the All-Star? What do I need to do? Because this is my first time.
I am not too familiar with the All-Star, but the guys here on the FBI network, if anybody is listening, would be able to help you out with that one. W8FU, W8RCY, or W8VD. Or any DBF. Anybody guys out there listening? Help Victor Echo 3 Charlie Charlie India with the All Start information. KKKJL.
Well, I'm here, but I'm a little confused because the station trying to connect up to All Star appears to be on the Detroit 142-175 repeater. What is it you're trying to do, sir?
I'm trying to connect to a Perry Sound repeater that's on All-Star to this repeater using the text tone pads. Over.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah, we don't do that. We don't allow people to link up
the repeater system, the other systems. So if you had a private node, you could do it, but you'd have to get with the repeater owners. There's multiple repeaters hooked up here, and the repeater owners would have to all agree, and you know, you would have to set it up and do it. But yeah, not something you can do directly on the repeater.
Okay. So, which repeaters do you directly do that on? Because I know there's some on. I was looking at repeater book and stuff like that, and I can't really find any.
I personally don't know of any that allow that for users to steer the repeater. You know, that's pretty much something that the system owners and maybe a select group of control operators do. Most people that are trying to connect up to things on AllStar have a personal node, and they use their personal node to go wherever they want. But I don't know of any. It's theoretically possible, obviously, but it's not generally something I've seen on particularly on repeaters. So, again, there's just usually AllStar link. AllStar capable repeaters are generally busy off connected up to their own things, and that would really throw a monkey wrench if that were to happen. So, I don't personally know of any, but it's entirely possible.
Okay. Yeah. Like, how can I make my own node? Would I have to get a radio, or would I have to get I have an Android phone. I have a Windows laptop. And that's all I have for now. V3CCI.
So you can make them, but it's involved.
I got to jump on. I got to look at the video. 73 to both of you. Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
All right, Tom. Catch you later. Yeah, okay. So you can make your own, but that's very involved, and it's outside of the scope of something I want to get into here on the air. It sounds like you got a lot of reading to do if you want to make your own from scratch. There's tons of resources out there, to learn that. But I'm thinking you'd be more probably better served if you were to go to Node Ventures, look at some of the offerings from them. Go to Kits for Hams, I think, is one. He sells varying levels of nodes and various. You can buy them as parts, and you can buy them as kits. You can buy them as fully developed and ready to go nodes. So you know, you could buy all the stuff you need there. But in a nutshell, you need a radio. You need a audio interface, and then you need a computer, and that's very, very basic. But the computer is generally dedicated, so something like a Pi. So you would have you would have a USB audio interface, and then you would have the RF, and and you can get all these things from, like, Kits for Hams, I think it is, anywhere from pieces, parts, you supply the Pi, to complete kits ready to go. So I would point you in that direction. I'm surprised that this repeater you want to connect to, if it has AllStar, I'm surprised they don't have EchoLink or some other means to get in. Like, for instance, this network here, we have EchoLink. And we also have hams over IP to allow people to connect up that don't have, you know, all-star nodes ready to go. So are you sure that the network you want to connect up to has not got an other way to get in?
So I'm not sure. I gotta communicate. I'll send the trustee about repeater and Terry Sound an email if it has other voice IPs to connect to. But so far in repeater book and their website, it says All Star. I'm not sure about Echolink or IOLP or any of those.
So is this PSARC, Perry Sound Amateur Radio Club? They have VE3 RPL 2-meter repeater and VE3 RPL 70-centimeter repeater. Does this sound right?
Yes, that's right. And also that they have 444.800 VE3 UPS. I was trying to connect to that as well. VE3 CCR for ID.
Yeah, you might want to try Echolink 932643. They got a VE3RPL.com page, and they do give an Echolink and IRLP connections in addition to the All-Star node. And so they got a pretty good page with a lot of information on there, and you can probably get there through Echolink, and that's easy peasy. You got a computer or a cell phone, you can get on. And then they'll probably give you all the help in the world to help get on their system.
So, how would I connect to Echolink and IOLP through this repeater or any repeater through handheld?
Well, you don't. You don't connect repeaters up to things. Again, the repeater owners do that. You do that. So you get download Echolink for your cell phone or your computer. There's instructions are there on how to do it. And then you use your computer or your cell phone to connect up. So it's all done at your end. And if you want to do All-Star, you've got to buy a node. Then you could use your radio and talk to your All-Star node. And then you could talk on All-Star. But, there may be repeaters out there to allow you to connect up to other systems. But in general, that's not something you're going to find out there. It's most repeater owners want to have control over what they're connected to and when.
Oh, okay. I understand. What about IOLP? What is that?
Old inferior technology that some people are hanging on to. It's for repeater to repeater linking, and stick with Echolink if you don't have an All-Star node, All-Star if you want to buy an All-Star node. So stick with those. There are other things, but those are I think you're pretty much, you know, that's good for you. Stick with Echolink. It'll be pretty straightforward. Go to Echolink online. They'll get you through it, either for the PC or the phone. It's probably easiest to download it for your cell phone. Honestly, it's easy peasy. So, and follow their instructions. I can't tell you much about it beyond that, but I know everybody does it. It's easy to do. So get Echolink on your computer. Get Echolink on your cell phone. Do it that way. Don't worry about IRLP, and then go to Node for Kits for Hams and look into the whole world of All-Star and see if that's something that would interest you. All right, I got to get out of here. I got to get back to dinner, Nat. I just thought I'd answer your question, and pretty much if anybody else wants to pick it up from here, feel free, but I'm going to make this my last. You take care. From WAFU.
Yep. 7-3 there, sir. Text you later. DD3CCI, we'll be clear.
WAEAT from W8FU.
He said he was getting a hair.
I heard a similar story as Tom, 88OD.
Do I really sound like Tom?
I still think you're Tom.
All right, Casey, you can do.
W8FU, W8EAP. W8FU.
Yeah, someone said you might have been looking for me earlier.
Yeah, I got an email that says you left a, how was it worded? I think you left a message. It says PBX voicemail notification. It says, W8FU Sean, there is a new voicemail in mailbox 1363 from W8EAP Eric. And I have no idea what that is or how to get to it. I've checked my ham VoIP. I've checked Ham Shack Hotline. I've checked my VoIP MS. What is that? Why can't I figure out how to get to it?
Okay, that is the amateur wire service. I was just looking around because Ham Shack Hotline is going bye-bye in August. And I was looking at some of the other services, and there's one called Amateur Wire. And it had a directory. And I just started typing names, and I noticed that you and Captain Don both have extension numbers. So to get to it, you dial 910 and then your extension number, and then it goes right to your line, right to your extension.
Why don't I remember signing up for this?
Well, go to amateurwire.com or org, and then there's like a phone book, and then do a search, and you're in there, Captain Don, and you're only like two extension numbers apart. I didn't see anybody else that I knew, just you two. So somehow you got signed up for an extension on that. But like I said, you really don't need it because you can access Hams over IP from there, and you can access, you can go back and forth between the two just by dialing like a three-digit extension first.
Well, Don and I are on it, and we're near each other in the directory. It must have been something we were talking about or monkeying with. So I'm going to go there and see if I can, if it rings a bell.
Maybe when you signed up for GroundWire, it automatically gave you an extension. But no, that can't be it, because I know other people that have the GroundWire app and they're not in there. That's weird. Something you guys did had you automatically kind of signed up for that, I guess.
All right, well, I'll look into it and see if I can figure out amateur wire VoIP service. I don't think it's amateur radio, or is it? Yeah, VoIP service for amateur radio operators.
Huh.
So I can provision my soon-to-be vacant AmShack hotline button with this?
Yes, you can. There isn't that many people on it. If you look up sequential numbers, it only goes up to like, you're at like 1,300 and something. It goes up to like 1,700, and then after that, they're vanity numbers after that. So I don't know how many numbers there are total, but I don't think it's that popular.
All right. It's probably some one night that Don and I were in there, stumbled across it and went, oh, we signed up for it. So there you go. So let's see. Existing users log in. So I'm going to guess username or email. I'm going to guess my username is W8FU. Wrong.
Well, I could always ask Captain Don and see if he remembers what the deal is on that. I left an obnoxious message on his number, too.
Something about this looks a little janky. Everything's a... This is ringing a bell. I think we signed up for it, and we found out it was kind of janky. And, I don't know. Every link takes you to stuff that's... Yeah, I don't know much about this, quite honestly.
Well, they do make mention of it on the Hams Over IP web, wiki. They make mention of it. And talk about the extension number, how to go from one to the other. It used to be you had to, like, dial a number and then wait for it to ring. Now it's more seamless. They updated it like 3 years ago to be more seamless. So it's basically 910, your extension number, and goes right to your phone. They also have a group conference room, which is 910-200. And then it's just like a, you know, so a few of us went in there to test it out. It works fine. So, yeah, it seems kind of janky.
Few of us? Who's on it? So I'm looking here now. It looks like Don, me, and Don, BB Don, all signed up for it. And I don't see anybody after us. That looks familiar. Oh, well, interesting. What do we do with it?
Well, when I say a few of us, I meant a few of us that don't have that service. But we went to HOIP, dialed 910-200, and then we got into the amateur wire conference room. So there's really no need for us to make an account because we can call anybody we want just by putting 910 in front of the number. So there you go.
Okay, I see. Yeah, Don's 1361, I'm 1363, and BB Don is 1364. And those are, oh, Keith Armitage is 1415. Keith's on there. And Mike from Plymouth, I kind of know of him, sort of, Sam maybe. But yeah, I definitely know... Keith. Oh, well. Yeah, I got that email, and I'm like, what the hell is this? I can't find it.
Yeah, I actually found one guy up north by Houghton Lake that I kind of know of. He's on there. I just started going by, I went by location and checked up north, and there's like one guy that I heard of before. But, all right, I'm home. I just thought that was weird. I thought the whole thing was weird. And I figured that you and Don must have done it, like, together, because your numbers are so close. So that's why, I figured you guys probably did it roughly at the same time.
Okay, well, I don't know how much I'm going to monkey with it, but I'll ask either of the Dons if they remember anything about it when I hear them.
And maybe one day I'll hear your message. I'm sure it's exciting.
I don't know, something smart alecky, like, hey, this is your little secret hangout, but I found you. I found you and your secret service here. Something to that effect. Nothing too bad. All right, I just pulled up in the driveway. I am driving again. I've been driving for the last few days. I just, feel confident enough that I could sit in the car without any kind of real pain. And the thing is, too, is getting in and out of the car. You got to be able to get in and out of the car without hurting yourself. So about a week and a half ago, I figured I'd be ready, and then I just waited a few days. So, yeah, about the last 3-4 days or so, I've been driving. So one milestone number one reached. So I'll talk at you later. W-A-D-A-P.
All right, we'll catch you later, W-8-F-U.
Hey, are you H? Hey, F-A-E-A-P.
I didn't catch that call. How are you doing this evening?
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Alpha Papa. Doing pretty well. Just looking at the damage from all the rain out here.
Ah, where you at? What's your location that you had rain damage?
Not damage, but it was quite substantial. I got quite a few standing pools of water in the yard. I'm in Burt, Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't, I'm down here in St. Clair Shores, and we did not get it that bad, so we got lucky. I was watching that storm cell moving, and it looked pretty ugly for a little while, so good you didn't get much damage.
I had drained the pool last night and was getting ready to refill it when I got home from work today. It was bone dry when I left this morning. It's got 2.5 inches or better in it right now.
Well, it saves you a little bit of time, maybe even a little bit of money.
That it does.
All right, well, I'll let you take care of business. This is K-E-A-R-U-H. Have a good evening, and I will catch up with you later. I will be monitoring for a few more minutes.
sound good. I will probably be on the rest of the evening, just having the radio on. KF8EAT.
WAT.
WD8KLL, KF8DIC.